pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors meeting Friday, May the 13th. Well, I'm just going to see if anybody caught me.
Tuesday, May the 21st.
It could have been Friday.
Okay.
The way things started out this morning.
In a mailbox?
Is there any changes to the agenda?
I've never.
Mr. Brooks, do you have any?
I do not.
Okay, seeing any changes to the agenda? We shall meet with department heads and elected officials. Sarah Doty, payroll clerk, auditor's office.
Good morning. Just keeping busy as usual. Nothing to report at this time.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Colin, IT department.
Just keep busy like always. I've got nothing to report, so.
Thank you. Sheriff Glenn Denny.
No major news our way either. We do have a trial going on this week, so there'll be some enhanced presence. That trial may run into next week, so we'll have screening and some additional deputies up on the third floor. I haven't checked the jail population this morning, but it was 67 last night, so somewhere in that neighborhood, we're hanging strong there. We had two adults out of county because of conflicts.
Maybe we had a good evening. We didn't add any more to you.
Hopefully.
Rodney Bleasner, maintenance.
Good morning. Really busy with a lot of different projects. Update on the front steps. They did the last pour for those yesterday morning, so hopefully, they're hoping by Monday to have everything done and opened up for Monday, but kind of dependent on the weather, so. I need to thank Brian and his crew, Devin, for helping with the concrete testing and whatnot last week, so I know them guys are really busy. I really appreciate them helping out and being there through that process. Just want to give a shout out to them guys for their help, so thank you. Other than that, we've just got a lot going on. We've got a work session.
Okay, thanks, Rodney.
Thank you.
Terry Johnson, county auditor.
Good morning. Election update, 2 weeks until the primary election. The last day to request a ballot to be mailed was yesterday at 5 p.m., and we received several of them, so we got all those mailed out yesterday. Absentee voting continues in the office through June the 6th till 5 p.m. during those next two weeks, as our office hours are only 8 to 4:30. But we will be open Saturday, June the 4th, from 8 to 4. And so far, we've had a total of 304 absentee ballots. Way down compared to what 2 years ago was, whenever they sent out all the request forms. But hey, it's enough to keep us busy. And just a reminder that Monday is Memorial Day, and the courthouse will be closed.
Okay.
So that's it.
Thank you, Terry. Jared Laster, Southeast Iowa Regional Planning.
Morning. Land use, just keeping busy as always. I do have two items on the agenda today, and apart from that, there's really nothing in particular to highlight, so.
Okay, thank you. Ken Heinemann, Seal Region.
Good morning. Yep, things are going well. Just staying busy. We've continued to do we got a couple more contracts we need to get done before June 30th, and so we're working on those. I just appreciate IT did the updates on our computers this week. You know, it's just something they always do, and I just appreciate that the computers still work well, and the lawn gets cut by maintenance, and we have a lot of people that contribute to our services, and we appreciate Rodney and Colin and all their support that they give us. So, nothing else.
We knew that you couldn't do Colin's job, but we're going to buy you a push mower. Is that okay?
I think I can do that if you need me to.
Wheels are always turning. Jimmy's always spinning.
Thanks, Ken. Janelle, how's the treasurer's office?
Good morning. We're keeping busy. We should get the proof back today from the Hawkeye for publication of the tax sale list at the end of next week. So keeping busy with that.
Okay, thank you, Janelle.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Plenty of stuff going on, but I got some guys mowing, working on culverts. Obviously have Upper Flint closed. They're in pavement removal still, and moving along. Pleasant Grove is coming along good. They won't be completely done, I don't anticipate, till next week. I think there's an outside chance it could open Friday until they can get some stuff finished up at the end of sometime next week. So, but I would say maybe an opening Friday or at the latest sometime early to mid next week. So I'll try to let you know once that's done or open at least. So it's coming good and looks good. Actually, I was through it yesterday. Of course, I told you Geode's open. Went through there yesterday. That looks good. If you get a chance, it's worth the trip. And plenty of stuff going on. I did want to mention we had a bid letting last Tuesday through the DOT. Well, we didn't hold it locally. It was for the Dry Branch Bridge on Highway 99. It's for that preliminary grading. That's kind of off alignment in the bridge replacement or the bridge construction itself. It came in at about $1.4 million. When we had updated our engineering estimate to better reflect what I call current day prices as far as dirt work and as far as bridge work, because everything's sky high, as we know. It hit our estimate as close as you could ever dream of hitting an estimate, I believe. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but it was very close. So we're right in line with, we did have four bidders also. Four. And I want to say our bidder was 1.4 and the high bidder went all the way up to just shy of 2 million. So competition's a good thing. But I think the second bidder was up in the 1.6s or something like that. So when we get all that paperwork from the DOT, obviously we'll get signatures and run through a board and all that sort of stuff. But and that one's all got, that one I believe is probably gonna be our last swap project. Actually, I think the bridge money is swap money and then there's FM money in it also. So that's good to have bid. I have not talked to the contractor that was the primary that bid on it, so I don't know when construction. I'm assuming the grading will be going late summer and the bridge either winter time or next spring, but I haven't talked to anybody to verify all of that. So good to have that out there.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Natalie, how's the reporter's office doing?
Good morning. Things are going well in the reporter's office, just business as usual.
Okay, thank you. Angie, how's the safety department?
Good morning. Keeping busy, but really nothing new to report. So.
Nothing to report. Okay, thank you. Chris Lee, I see you sticking your head in there. How's the conservation?
Good, just gearing up for our biggest weekend of the year. Memorial Day weekend's always the big one for us. We're planning on getting the beach ropes out this week so people can swim over the weekend if they want to. It's supposed to be kind of warm this weekend. And then we're gonna try to get boat docks out. We're kind of dragging our feet a little bit. The river's high 13s and 14-ish. So it doesn't give us a lot of wiggle room if the river decides to come up, because as we know, it can come up real fast. That 14 to 15 foot is our action stage on two of our ramps along the Mississippi. And if our dock is out and it gets above that, there's no way we can get it, because where it mounts to the mounting hardware goes under the water and we can't get it. And then it lifts the dock up and it puts pressure on that and we can't get it real loose. And so if we can, we'll try to get docks out this weekend. We know there's gonna be a lot of people wanting to use those, but you know, it's kind of one of those, is it gonna happen? You know, what kind of rain we're gonna get and stuff. And so we'll see if what this rain does here in the next couple of days. But just looking forward to a big busy weekend. And then the following weekend, June 4th is our youth jamboree, which would be a huge weekend at Therapy Hollow as well, with all things outdoors, 1,000 kids running around the park. So a couple big weekends coming right up.
That's good.
Yeah.
Forward to it. Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Chris Poyer, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy. We had the Board of Health meeting last week. One of the things that they talked about was the baby formula shortage. Definitely wanted to reiterate that if anyone is having trouble getting baby formula, that they really talk to that healthcare provider. Not recommending that people are making homemade formula or using cow's milk or goat's milk. Again, you know, one of the things they could do is if they have a particular brand that they're usually using, an alternative brand as far as like the store brand versus the name brand is definitely an option, but definitely encourage people to call their healthcare provider before making any changes to their baby formula. Also talked about the commercial septic agreement in the past, inspecting the pumper trucks that move human waste was inspected outside of the county. So we are bringing that back to our county, and that will be done by through Russ. They'll do the pumper truck inspections for us. And so that agreement was signed at the Board of Health meeting. They also signed the agreement for Russ to do their environmental health services. And I will get with Terry and we'll get that agreement on the agenda for the board to review and sign as well. And then the other thing, last week or 2 weeks ago, that 28E agreement with the environmental health or with the DNR was signed by the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Health signed it last week at their board meeting. They did have Hans Trausel, who's on the IAAP Restoration Board, come talk about the plume. And he had some information, I think Jim has some information on that as well, where he's seeing improvements on that plume. So they meet quarterly and continue to monitor that plume as well.
Thanks, Krista. You can pass that back to Sarah for Terry.
Thank you.
Gotta make sure you get one, Terry. Did I miss anybody? Seeing that, we shall move on. The correspondence. Neither of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I have none. I did not either.
Move on to discussion of votes. We have a public hearing for the American Zoning Ordinance number 34 to change the official zoning map.
It's a motion to open a public hearing.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. This is an amendment. You want to take hands of this here?
Yeah, just give a quick background here. This is the item we addressed in the work session a couple weeks back. It's a rezoning request for about 12 acres of property on the west side of Sullivan Slough Road, which there was a zoning commission meeting and public hearing the week prior to that. This involves existing property, had initially been a legal non-conforming use in the R1 single family residential district, specifically the Woodlands Treatment Center operated by Young House Family Services, which ceased operations in 2014 due to DHS restructuring of the residential treatment facilities, and it's been vacant ever since. And because of the way that the zoning ordinance treats non-conforming uses, anytime one of those ceases operations for more than a year, either the property has to revert back to something that complies with the zoning district, or it would need to be rezoned in order to be reused for that same activity that was not allowed in the R1 district. So that was the initial proposal, was to rezone to C1 commercial, to reopen that facility for a residential treatment center, which again is based on more restructuring at the state level, and there's demand in around the state, but in this region in particular, based on the existing facilities that are available not being able to meet that demand. And so the proposal does not involve any new development on the property. It's just the use of existing buildings. The south building is the actual residential facility, but there's also an office on the north property as well that would be used by Young House. And so at the public hearing with the zoning commission, there were a number of neighboring property owners present, and it presented some concerns about security and safety with regards to potential runaways from that facility, and had some experience to reference based on when that facility was open before, that there had been kids that had trespassed on their property, had been issues there. And so there was a lengthy discussion there with a representative of Young House, who is in attendance here today. This is Eric Schilling, the director of Young House. And it was a nice opportunity to go over any of their concerns that they had before. I think a big part of that discussion was just the fact that when it was previously operational, there was likely a lot of apathy with regards to that program as it was being de-emphasized at the state level, and so maybe in those last few years that they were operational, there were some issues there that could have been avoided. But obviously, there's been, it's a very different dynamic now, and in addition to technology improvements with regards to security measures on the property, which is important because, as was noted, this is because it's not a detention center, it's not classified as such, it can't be fully locked. Given the nature of the children from the foster care and juvenile court systems that would be housed at that facility. There was also a concern that came up on the neighboring property owners that rezoning to C1 would potentially open the door to, if that property were to cease operations again, if they were to sell it, what could potentially go in there? And of course, the commercial district does include a variety of uses that would be allowed by right without any further feedback from the commission or from the supervisors. So ultimately, the compromise was reached where the alternative was presented for a conditional rezoning where instead of just allowing any use that's otherwise allowable in C1, it's rezoned to C1, but it specifically identifies a couple of categories of use that this building, this property falls into that would address. And that's as defined by the ordinance, those would be the terms social service provider and nursing home or similar care facility, which is the one that comprises anything that's a social service provider where there are overnight residential accommodations on site. And so that was the recommendation from the commission. We had reworded the language of that slightly just to make it fit with those existing categories in the ordinance, since what they had recommended was initially very specific to this particular youth treatment center. So that was, we had discussed at the work session there that recommendation of doing the conditional rezoning, which is something that as far as we know, the county has not approved previously, but it is something that is allowed by our ordinance, and we know of some other nearby counties that have utilized that option before. And so the way it would work is that the applicant would need to agree to the conditions associated with that, and then both the applicant and the supervisors would sign on to an agreement, which by state code has to be signed before the close of the final public hearing on the matter. And so we have three readings for that, but could potentially waive the third. This would be the first for that. So if you have any questions for me or the director, you can let us know.
Excuse me. No, I don't have any questions. Like I said, I'm just glad that you guys came to an agreement with the landowners around there, because right, there is a need for this.
Right.
And, like I said before, I had a friend that worked there previously when it was open, and now he talked about how he really helped the kids out. Well, he's deceased now, no longer there, but he would be glad to see it back open. Does anybody else have any comments? We'll give you 2 minutes if anybody's on the line here listening or anything. We'll give you 2 minutes. You can call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4, or email board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. We'll give you 2 minutes to do that. Anybody else in here got anything to say about it?
What's the timeline? What's the hope on being able to open that?
So we'd like to be operational by 15 August, so prior to school starting, because the kids attend school on the facility. So we just want to try to align that with the school year.
And will that be 15 kids or up to 15 kids? Or is...
Right now, it would be a maximum of 20. But we're looking to request 16. We have to maintain a 1-to-4 ratio. So with current workforce participation, you know, it can be a challenge to start getting more workforce the larger number of kids you increase. And so this is part of the steps that we need for Department of Inspection Appeals to issue the license. Once the license would be issued, then we go back to the contractual agreements with DHS juvenile court. And then ultimately, they would decide what the number of clients would be.
Is that Medicaid funded?
There's portions of it that can be. Otherwise, it's through the state in terms of DHS.
Does the Medicaid funding have a size on the max or the effect on the maximum size of that facility?
No.
It doesn't have the 16-bed rule in an effect?
No, in terms of the number of clients that we could have?
Well, in a residential care facility, if you have more than 15, I believe, you Medicaid won't fund it.
We've not ran into that issue so far. So our current facility at Christmore is actually is capable of 19 beds, but we're contracted for 16, 13 on what's called a qualified residential treatment program and 3 on shelter, but all within the same facility.
That's definitely the rule for adults. I don't know what the children's rule is. Yeah, 15 for adults.
So that's our current licensure of that facility, Mount Pleasant.
Just curious about having the word was for juveniles. Okay, gentlemen, the 2 minutes is up. Does anybody else have anything to say? I guess all I'd say is that our motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Okay, we have a resolution 20. We have to approve this.
Yeah,
first
we have
reading.
To approve this, don't we?
I like the way it was arrived at with the zoning commission discussion, discussion of the zoning options. And this was the one that provided the most concerns. So I would make a motion to approve the first reading of the amendment to the zoning ordinance.
I'll second it.
Sarah.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Now we can move on. Resolution 2022-37, final plat for the Abel Hilltop subdivision. Again, Jared, that would be you.
Yep, it's a pretty simple one. It's right about an acre of land being split off of a pretty large farm property that surrounds it. This is on 170th Avenue, just west, southwest of Big Hollow, and just south of the J&M Displays property. So it contains an existing house, which is planned to be split off from the surrounding farm ground and sold. So the plat does show that there is a septic easement for a drain that is present on the property that will be sold, or the rest of the property. So it does straddle the line there, but it is included on the plat for future reference. Also, there's an ag building just behind this parcel that will remain on the larger farm lot. And an easement, access easement, has been provided for the owner to retain access to that in the future using the driveway on the residential property. That doesn't mean that it wouldn't be possible to obtain a direct access in the future. There is a lot of frontage there along 170th for that property, even when this piece is split off. But at least for the time being, that access has been provided through an easement. On the 1 acre lot. So in terms of the review, only notable comment was that from health department that they need to have a time of transfer inspection of the septic system, which I understand it is already either completed or underway at this time as they prepare to sell. Other than that, it's pretty straightforward, and recommend approval of Abel Hilltop subdivision.
I move to approve final plat for Abel Hilltop subdivision.
Second.
Sarah?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
One of the rare instances where we have an issue with the initial name they requested, because that same family has, the Abel family has done a number of minor subdivisions in the past decade, and so that to go through a couple of options before one that hadn't already been taken. Abel subdivision, Abel Acres, Abel Hilltop.
We'll sign the rest of these after for you.
Okay, thanks.
Moving on, we have personnel actions. We have four of them for the Correctional Center. We'll do all four of them at once. First one is for Matthew Hirschman. It's a resignation. Didn't give an effective date here, but
5/28.
Yeah, here it is right here. Effective date, May 28, 2022. Next one is for Kendra Whalen. And it's a 12-month step increase. From she's a kitchen assistant cook from $10.25 an hour to $11.27 an hour. The third one is for Brittany Whalen, Correctional Center, new hire part-time, new rate $10.61 an hour, effective May 25th, 2022. Next one is for Bill Elliott, unpaid time off, May the 19th, 20, 21, 22, and May the 26th, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, and June 4th and 5th.
I move to approve all four Correctional Center personnel actions.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Conservation. Is that Avery Jacobs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Resignation, effective 4/29/22. So he's been gone for a while.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. And the jail stats for April of 2022. These reports will be on file in the auditor's office for your viewing at your own discretion. So
move to approve.
Second.
Sarah?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Is there any other business, gentlemen?
I have
future agenda items.
The 2080 agreement with Community Action. Are we going to try to get that wrapped up before next week or by next week?
We need a work session.
Yeah, we need a work session on that team.
Probably. I mean, that's up to you guys, really. But, I mean, we don't have to have everything, but the 2080 agreement is that we need to get locked up. So however you guys want to proceed with that.
We pretty much discussed it.
We
don't know what work session would accomplish much more if we put it on the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for next week?
Yeah.
Committee reports.
I had Community Action. We had an executive review, and we talked about the 2080 agreement a little bit. Had a youth board meeting, Mississippi Valley. We issued some checks for child care equipment, et cetera. And I had a Bridges Out of Poverty meeting, and we're just working on some fundraising ideas. That's all I have.
have nothing.
Krista, thanks for giving my report for my meeting. That was really good.
Well, she's gonna give yours, she needs to do mine, even odds.
So, I did have public health, man. Krista, give that report. Okay, public input. Anybody from public have any input? Not seeing anybody stand up here, yes?
My name's Tracy Belbert, and I had a couple of issues that I wanted to talk to you guys about, if you don't mind. Actually, the one's not really an issue. I wanted to say thank you to Brian Carter and Secondary Roads, because they're out working on Upper Flint. Progress is going very well. I mean, the guys are busting butt, they really are. But that is one thing that I wanted to bring up about the holiday weekend coming up. It is a very busy holiday weekend of partying and people out having fun, which is great. But even just this last weekend, even though they had barricades up and cones and stuff, we still had people flying through. Somebody was moving furniture and everything, and a big oak pedestal table was dumped in front of my house for me to clean up, along with some type of a pane of glass, which I went out and picked up. I didn't pick up the oak table, but I did the glass. My concern is, with it being a holiday weekend, I don't know, Kevin, if there's anything else that can be done about better barricading. Because I literally had two, I'm gonna say kids, come through with like little speedy cars that came down and around into my drive, down in towards my pasture fence to come back up to get around the barricades. And with all due respect, if people are out drinking like they probably will be this weekend, I'm concerned about what might happen. So if we can maybe try and work on barricades more on either end, I don't know what's possible.
There's not much that can be done if we're going to keep you in and out. We can't close the road because we've got to keep landowners in and out. I mean, it's got closure signs.
I'm only a lot for the weekend.
Well, I would tell you that you can call law enforcement, but if you want us to close it solid, we can close it solid. But are you the only one right now with further progress who's coming in and out, or is there somebody else also?
I haven't been up to the top of the hill. I don't know if they're up to Scott and Nina's drive yet.
They were close. I don't know if they're there, but I mean, unfortunately, people not reading signs is nothing new, and ignoring them. So I would encourage you to call if you know of anybody coming in, to call. I mean, it's not a new thing. We will look at the signs, but I can't make you guarantees people aren't going to drive around anything we do.
Yeah, and I understand. It's just by the time I call law enforcement, they're going to be well gone.
Are they able to move through there completely now?
No, they can't go all the way through.
I think that should be a big help, because up until fairly recently, they could. Just kind of going around the barricades, and we had complaints about that. So hopefully that will discourage some of that activity. But the best thing is if you get a vehicle description, get a plate, and give us a call, we'll track them down. A lot of times it's the same person, but we'll have enhanced presence out there. And I don't know if we can talk to the contractor and maybe ask him just to tighten up the barricades a little bit to discourage it more.
I'll have Devin take a look. I mean, if there's something we think we can do, I mean, we're going to keep your access, because also if there's emergency response needed at your house for some reason, we want them to be able to get there also. It's just,
sure,
it's an obligation we try to have, other than when we pay, obviously. But I'll have Devin take a look at it, and maybe we can leave a piece of equipment across to discourage, you know, that be in the closure area, but across to try to discourage or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what we can do, but we can take a look.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you. The other issue I wanted to bring up is, and I've talked to Tom about this a few times, but abandoned houses out in our area. There's one at the top of the hill, so the intersection of Irish Ridge and Upper Flint. It's actually address 12036 Irish Ridge Road. It used to belong to Mr. and Mrs. Birch, but then I know she was in a care facility, and I don't know if she's passed away or not. It might be in the estate now, but it's definitely been emptied by scavengers, no windows. The buzzards are living in the upper story of it. But I found some kids that were going over there playing the other day, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And I know that comes down to parents taking care of their children. But that's one house just at our road. And then you come down the hill, back up as if you're going up towards Scott and Nina's house. And DeWalds own a small house that used to belong to Sizers at the top of the hill. And that is basically abandoned. Windows are broken out. It's falling in. The owners haven't been there in probably a year or two, I would say. But it's another abandoned house. And then we have another problem house over towards the highway. There's people that actually live there, but it's not cared for. It's turning into a dump zone. That's address 11757 Upper Flint. It's a little white house next to the old stone schoolhouse. It's just an ongoing problem where throughout the entire winter there's been a huge pile of a mattress and a chair and garbage bags and cars that don't move.
Is that the one they had to fire and cleaned up the first time that you and I talked?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So what I can say is we have some limitations on people's right, I should say, to have trash in their yard. Now, when it meets the code for what the DNR code of collecting trash or dump pile or illegal burning, what we'll do, and we did at that exact residence, is we went out and we delivered notice. We struggled with making contact with anybody, but we delivered a notice that they can't keep piles of debris, they can't keep illegal burning, and that's what was going on at that residence.
Yeah.
So we delivered that notice, we made contact, and they were made aware. We actually had the environmentalist with DNR come down. We went through it, and he actually helped us out, and we created a template for our office so we could visit those sites within the county that have those properties that meet that illegal dump sites. Because there's some belief that you can dump whatever you want to on your own property, but you really can't. You can't have dump piles on your property. Dirty yards, and that's kind of where that place has transitioned. Now it does appear, and I haven't been by there in a week or two, but it does appear that it's starting to build up again, and it's turning into what is probably a dump site again.
Yeah, because that pile by the front door, it's been there all winter.
Yeah.
It hasn't moved.
So the pile, unfortunately, was, I think it was a couch, and then there was stuff that started to heap on top of it. And can somebody have a couch at their front door? Probably, when it starts turning into a pile of actual trash, no. So it's probably something we need to revisit again and go have a talk about.
I appreciate it, especially with you being right there. I mean, hopefully it's easy access that
to
periodically pop in.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. But what about these abandoned houses?
So abandoned houses, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I mean, how the house that's on Irish Ridge, the Birch House, so we've had a lot of issues with trespassing there. That is in the state, it's held by multiple owners. One of them lives in the area, the others live out of the area. But they had no intention at this point, as far as I know, of doing anything with it. But we respond to complaints all the time of trespassing and dump sites. And I can't say that they have any intent of doing anything with it, but if there's trespassing going on there, then we respond to it. But as far as forcing them to maintain it, that's probably becoming out of our hands and outside of our ability to do that, unless I'm missing something.
No, Warren County does not have countywide zoning. There's a 2-mile zone around Burlington.
Yeah.
Jared could probably address that.
Yeah.
And it's limited zoning, but I don't think there's any.
Not for nuisances or
nuisance,
abandonment
any,
like that.
Nuisance,
and with the dumping thing, it's kind of a gray area. If we're able to ascertain that it's actually being used as a commercial enterprise where people are paying to come in and dump stuff like a junkyard or something, that's one thing. But again, if there's kind of a gray area when you come to just, oh, there's just piles of stuff there. How did it get there? So that's. Because our zoning ordinance is primarily geared towards the general use of the property, residential, commercial, industrial, setbacks, things like that. So it's again, without having a nuisance ordinance specific to that, that's not really something that falls under the purview of the zoning ordinance.
But when we're looking at a health and safety issue, like, I mean, the two abandoned houses that I'm talking about, I mean, it's truly health and safety. Is there something that the county could look at similar to the city when it comes to houses that are at risk, you know, of harming someone?
We've had this come up in the past in some other areas, and there was the board and general public had no interest in that. I've been involved in a couple of them, and there's, beyond the right of way, there's been no action and no option for action on private property. But I can just only speak to the past.
Shane, you worked with those.
Yeah, and the deal is a lot of people move out to the country so that they can. Yeah, people move out to the country so that they can have a little bit more freedom and make their own choices. And yeah, it's kind of, where do you draw the line of, you know what I'm saying, of crossing over into people's rights when they move out to the country for those reasons? I mean, we've never been able to do anything with it. Now, in town, yeah. But even with, I won't give the address, but there's a spot where it's still in town. It looks like it's in town, but that's where the divide is. I mean, there's been people complaining about that stuff, and even then, there's only so far that we can go with it because they're considered county. If they want to have something out in their front yard, we can't make them clean it up. The only thing we can do is say, well, if there's critters, I think the closest thing we had was like water, where, you know, they had rubber tires and stuff like that, and water, they had stored in mosquito problem, you know, but it's limited. As far as I know, it's really, really, really hard. And I don't know what anybody else has to say about that, but I don't know how you can do that.
Now, in the city of Burlington, part of the problem with the zoning is it's went way too far the other way. And so most people that have moved out of the city of Burlington, I will tell you, I would never live in Burlington. Because of, they tell you everything. I mean, everything. And that's why people move out to the county. So if you start setting them up, then that sets up the opportunity for things to get a little bit extreme.
And I appreciate everything that you guys are saying. I've lived in the country my entire life, and I get it. I just think when you have houses that are falling in, that's a health and safety issue, and especially when there's kids around, that I get that they shouldn't be there. I understand that, but the plain simple fact is that it happens.
I guess the only thing that would fall on it is you would hope the liability involved in owning one of those places would prompt someone to make changes. But apparently that doesn't always work, because those owners that you're strict, they're liable if some children wander on there and the house falls in on
them. It's probably going to take somebody getting hurt.
But that's the incentive they have now.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any public comment? Seeing nobody. Right, with an eye, we're out of here.
Aye.
Bye.
We have a work session coming up at the Seal Region. We're going to take about a 5-minute break.
And see if there's anything we can do for keeping your access and trying to minimize anything else. I know we can't stop everybody from everything, but we'll see what we can do.
The only thing I can think of is the stuff on the fish, which is actually, you know, there's three signs up there. Is I would pull them out onto the road instead of just leaving them out on the shoulder. Better when those asses are out.
Absolutely.